Amen. So I was reading that Eva Krakow in Psychology Today says that you and I make about 3,000 decisions every single day. Some of them are small decisions, like when to get up, what to eat and drink, and do I need to wash my hair, clearly. Some are larger. Given I only have 30 minutes, who am I going to let down? How should I vote? How do I express my feelings on that? And some are life-changing. Some are about relationships, jobs, and where to live. I asked Lois, if you don't mind coming up, that'd be great, to give us a little story from her life about one of those particular decisions, or in fact, a series of decisions, I think it was really, in a way, wasn't it? Do you want to just explain? So you had quite an eventful time one afternoon, I understand.
So this is a story from about 3 years ago, and my family and I decided we would go on our first long walk together as a family. And it was in the middle of Wales, and there was no internet connection, so we decided to take with us a list of instructions about where to go. And this is what we'd done before we had a family, so we thought it would be fine now. We were towards the end of our walk, and we realised that one of the last instructions actually made no sense when we got to the field where we needed to make the next movement, left or right or whatever. We stayed there for about an hour or more, trying to figure out which direction we needed to go, and we tried this way and that way, and it just didn't make any sense where we needed to go from there to get back home. It was a very hot day, and actually we'd run out of water by this point, and the boys were really upset and fed up, and we were starting to get quite worried. I was starting to feel like I might get a heat stroke. And I, at that moment, really felt kind of led that I should lead our family together in prayer. It's not something that we had done in that kind of situation before, but I really felt that it was important to do it at that moment. So we prayed together, and actually, quite amazingly, within 1 or 2 minutes, having never seen anybody in the last hour, a farmer came up in his Land Rover, and he stopped to let the sheep out or whatever he was doing, and we were able to ask him how to get back.
That's wonderful. Yeah. That's great. Excellent. Thank you very much for sharing that. That's really good. Thanks, Les. That's great. Aha. So maybe guidance and God are related after all. And in fact, our readings this morning seem to suggest that God is interested in our decisions. He wants us to make good decisions. St. Paul tells us that God's will for our lives is good, pleasing, and perfect. God has a view about how we lead our lives and the choices that we make. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a pretty deep awareness that on my own, I don't always make the best decisions. I lack wisdom very often as I navigate my way through life. I don't always know the way, if you like. I stumble around in the dark. And being a man, of course, I couldn't possibly ask for directions. But the Bible is clear. Guidance springs out of our relationship with God. God promises to guide those people who are walking with him. I will instruct you and teach you, says the psalm, in the way that you should go. So how can this become true in our own lives? How can we access God's guidance? What does it look like? Well, there's a character in the Old Testament called David, and he wrote the Psalms, including the one we heard read this morning. And that psalm declares, he guides me, God guides me, along the right paths for his name's sake. And David needed guidance big time. He was in a bind of his own making. He's had an affair, and now his life is in danger, and you might imagine why. So he asked God for guidance. Which way should he walk? And so he says in Psalm 25, show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior. My hope is in you all day long. So what's interesting here to me is that David isn't asking God for the right answer. He's not looking for directions from a sat-nav. Go here on Monday and at 12 o'clock knock on this door. Hey Alexa, left or right? No. He's proclaiming that God is his hope and his savior. And then he says, "Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths." He's asking God to align him, David, with his heavenly father's intentions for his life. It seems to me to be the case that David feels he can't know the will of God without first knowing God himself, getting to know God and allowing God to reveal his will. And now if we contrast David with another one of his contemporaries, Saul. So Saul, at this point, is a bad king in a bad place. And at one point, he is seeking guidance. He's surrounded by the Philistine army, and he's given up his relationship with God. So much so that he actually is asking for guidance from mediums. He's seeking guidance in all the wrong places. He's seeking guidance solely for his own benefit, and it all goes horribly wrong. It goes wrong because Saul hasn't realized that he cannot know the will of God without first knowing God himself. The difference between Saul and David, both of them in a crisis, is that Saul is only interested in his own survival, saving his skin. But David says, "Lord, I give you my soul." David gives God his intentions. He says, "My hope is in you all day long." David looks to discover God's will by discovering God himself. Whereas Saul just wants to shortcut the situation. He wants Alexa to get him out of trouble, trouble which is of his own making. So it turns out that guidance is about relationship with God. And Jesus echoes this when he says, "Our heavenly Father calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. His sheep follow him because they know his voice." Jesus is using the picture of a sheep with a shepherd to illustrate the relationship that he wants to have with us. Jesus' words mirror David's experience of guidance, that when we take time to know God, then we begin to get to know his voice, his mind for us, and we get a glimpse of his heart for us. Then we begin to know God and we make better decisions. Another picture we have, particularly relevant on Father's Day, I guess, is of God adopting us into his family as his children. And of course, children uniquely get inside the minds of their parents. And that often acts as a compass for their behavior. Good decisions hopefully become second nature. They become automatic as the family values are shared. So when we get to know God's heart and mind, we'll be ready for that crisis that demands a serious decision because we've invested in the relationship with God up front. I don't know where you make decisions. I was reading something this week which rang true with me, is that some people make decisions with their mind, intellectually. Some people make decisions with their heart, and some people make decisions with their gut. And so I don't know which one you would relate to. I'm definitely the heart one, for sure. And I just wonder if we've got to know Jesus and he's prepared our heart and our soul and our mind, our gut, to be in tune with his wonderful purposes, then we're much more likely to make really good decisions. The Holy Spirit plays a big part in this relationship building. In our reading says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will glorify God because it is from God that he will receive what he will make known to us." So if you like, the Holy Spirit acts as a kind of accelerator of that process, a part of that relationship. Now, another illustration of this, many of you will know Erin Coppin. Where is she? She's here this morning somewhere, isn't she? Is Erin? Where's Erin? Or maybe she's in Sunday school or something. But anyway, she's prepared a video for us about how this kind of process works for her. So, Lindsay, I don't know if you can show that video. That would be great.
Quite new at St. Mary's, and I just wanted to share a little bit with you about my experience of being guided by the Holy Spirit. So Something that I found really helpful in this is a meditative practice called the Lectio Divina, which means sacred reading. I will take a passage of scripture and meditate on it by repeating it to myself over and over again for a few minutes and listen out for the word or phrase that jumps out as being for me today. And the understanding is that that word or phrase is God speaking to me through the passage. And then I'll spend a few minutes meditating on my response to the passage, just telling God what's on my heart and what's come up for me when I'm listening to this passage. And this process has helped me to differentiate between what is me, my thoughts and feelings, and what is God and the Holy Spirit speaking to me. I've had some incredible life-changing and powerful experiences through this method, but I've also had lots of times of just gentle companionship with God, just like having a chat, really. I would recommend that you learn how to listen to the Holy Spirit, because it doesn't come naturally to people. We're only human, after all, and it's also going to be different for everyone. So you might find this process really helpful, or you might find some other way really helpful. But learn how to listen.
That's great. So we heard there from Erin how important that relationship is and how she invests time in building her relationship with God and the benefits that come from that. Sometimes it feels like God's speaking to her, and other times it's simply the relationship that helps her just be with God and to make good decisions naturally. So I'd encourage us all to commit to this relationship building with God. I'd like us all to commit this week to pray less like Saul and more like David. Less about which way, give me some quick and easy answers, help me shortcut. Less about that, and more about that deeper investment in the relationship that enables us to know the mind of God and therefore make good decisions and good choices. To see our time with God less as a transaction and more as a relationship with our Heavenly Father. Someone in whom we put our trust. Someone whose mind we get to know. So that we become ready to take good decisions. Second nature, subconsciously. Isaiah warns that our ways are not God's ways, naturally. And I certainly feel that's true of myself. In other words, if we don't build this relationship, if we don't take time to engage with the mind of Christ, there will come a fork in the road sooner or later where our own tuition and God's call on our life will be in different directions and we'll take a fork that isn't good for us. David said, "Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior and my hope is in you all day long." You see how this prayer has developed. David has surrendered his soul, that inner life. He's proclaimed his trust, and now he's able to pray with integrity, "Your way, O God, your paths, Lord, your truth." So the light that dawns for us, I think, then, is that guidance is not about God having one plan for us from which we must never deviate in any little detail. Because that causes us fear and paralysis, doesn't it? We're worried we might have taken the wrong decision three or four decisions ago, and it'll never be put right again. But actually, it's not like that at all. We can let it go, that attitude, and we can actually allow God, through his relationship with us, wherever we are, wherever we find ourselves, to lead us on, and we will make better decisions because of that relationship. You might have 10 important decisions in your life to make right now, which would, of course, give you hundreds, if not thousands, of different possible pathways. And you might wish that God would tell you exactly where to go. But I'd want to say this morning, let it go. You don't have to do that. Jesus only requires that we make sure our heart is good, that our motives are pure, that our basic direction in life is right. Let it go. In other words, if we're in tune with God, we'll make better ethical choices. better faith-related choices, better relational choices. Here I stand in the light of God. Because if the Holy Spirit is living in us, he doesn't have to come far to nudge us to talk to that person, to make that particular decision, or visit that neighbor. We'll already be inclined to do that anyway, because we will be in tune with God. He won't have to knock us off our horse like he did with Paul. Things will be natural, automatic, second nature, this making of good decisions. We can choose a number of different alternatives and still continue to live in the will of God. So let it go. So those of you facing decisions about family, work, relationships, this news should lighten the burden and diffuse some of the pressure and the feelings about the choice that you might have to make. Sure, there are times in Scripture where God makes it really clear what he wants people to do. There's Moses and the burning bush. The Kim family and the farmer and the Land Rover is another example of that. But that isn't always the case. More often than not, we see people following Christ who are given remarkable freedom to walk through whichever door they want to choose because their intentions, their motives, their soul is aligned to God. They're connected to the vine. So finally, we don't have to do this on our own. We're part of a community doing this together. We can talk to others who are on the same walk as we are at St. Mary's. We can join a small group. We can seek wisdom in that community. We can read the scripture together. Those are all great things. And then at the end of the day, we can make good choices because we're living out God's will in those circumstances. So let's invite the Holy Spirit into this moment and to the next moment and to the one after that. Let's pray constantly. That is the way of our Heavenly Father. We don't necessarily have a roadmap, an Alexa, a sat-nav, but we do have Jesus. We have a destination. Jesus, who went to the cross on our behalf, who overcame our shortcomings. He overcame our death. He overcame all that is wrong with the world. And who says to us, keep lifting your soul to me. Keep listening to me. Keep trusting. Keep inviting the Holy Spirit to fill you. We've got a little bit of time this morning, and what I'd like to do is to pray a number of prayers on behalf of all of us. And if you'd like to join in your hearts and minds, please do. And at the end, there'll be a chance for each of us to come and be anointed with the cross in oil on our foreheads, which often symbolizes the welcoming of the Holy Spirit into our hearts, our minds, our guts. It's an opportunity, if you would like to come up to the front and to be anointed and to pray that the Holy Spirit will come and build that relationship between you and God. So shall we pray for a moment? And if you want to, please hold your hands out in front of you open to receive from God.